Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, on some level, everybody is weird. I mean, we all have quirks and triggers that are uniquely ours, but it takes a lot for everyone to find you weird. But make no mistake, it can be done. A guy in Thailand, he was busted for stealing underwear. That's not the weird part. You see, he'd steal the underwear, and then he would sniff them while masturbating. And then when he was done with them, he would hang them on a tree near his house. That's the story. I think we can all agree. Kind of weird, but not to be outdone. We go to Greece, where a man was arrested for trespassing on his neighbor's property repeatedly. Now, it's only weird because he did it so that he could sniff their shoes. And when asked why, he couldn't really explain why. It's just something that he does. And apparently, that's illegal. And as things continue to get weird, there's a guy who's been married for 11 years, and he openly admits that his wife has been a great partner, a fantastic mother of their three children. But recently, he found out that she's also kind of creepy. You see, he found an album on her phone dedicated to him. You think that's very sweet? The album had 9,631 pictures of him, and in every single picture, he's sleeping. And it freaked him out enough that he's now considering a divorce. I guess you can never really know someone. But that said, sometimes you can know them enough to know that they are freaky, odd, or peculiar. And that is at the root of today's question. Because sure, sometimes you know someone is weird. Other times, you discover that they're weird. So today, we want to know, friend, family member, neighbor, or coworker, when did you realize someone had a screw loose?
To be a part of the big show, call 206-803-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send your emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Home of Charles, away we go. Welcome to Season 19, Episode number 4,227. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat. Once again, we'll be joined by Taryn Daly, Steve Mix from the Daily Mix Morning Show as we will sit and spin. Last week, we were going to do 10 songs from the Filthy 15.
Right. The Parents Musical Resource
Center. That's exactly right. And then we get a call. Hey, Duff McKagan wants to come on the program. So as you know, the rule on the show, Duff always comes first.
Yeah, always.
So you say, we'll just do it this week.
That's a solid rule.
Yeah, Duff was playing out of the show box. We figured, you know, since we're all heading down there anyway, I'll talk to Duff McKagan. So today we will bring you the 10 songs from the Filthy 15. This goes back about 40 years, if I'm not mistaken.
What? Yeah. Right around 40 years ago.
This is when
mid-80s, I guess.
They started putting warning labels on albums, on songs, on everything else, kind of like the same system they do for movies. But this totally, I mean, it sent the music industry into overdrive as far as the artists that people are now going to buy based on the fact that there was a parental warning sticker. You almost just basically said two albums for the price of one.
Yeah, I mean, look, when I was growing up, man, once they started slapping their stickers on there, there were bands I never even thought about buying before, but I'd see the sticker on their album, not one on the other one, and I'm like, I'm going to check out the Filthy Guys.
Absolutely.
Every time.
So they came up initially with a list of 15 songs. So we've got 10 of those today that were slapped with that label as far as being explicit.
Filthy.
At that time. And they all have a different reason for why they were banned.
Mm-hmm.
Some have to do with the occult. Some have to do with sex, violence, you name it. It's all part of the plan.
I always love when the parents freak out about sex. I'm like, but you have kids.
Right.
How did your kids come to be?
I told you when I was growing up, my parents would not let me buy a Kiss T-shirt.
Why?
I believe that they thought that they were satanic. I'm not exactly sure what the deal was. It was a weird thing at the time.
They were just a goofy ass group, you know.
But if you don't do any investigating,
which is what people don't do,
and you just read a book by the cover. I mean, hell, all of us got suckered into buying Meatloaf Bad Out of Hell back in the day.
The album cover,
because we thought it was going to be like Molly Hatchet or I don't know something that was rocking.
And Molly Hatchet was a little misleading
something,
as well.
Something, right? I mean, anything other?
I'm thinking more Maiden, and then I heard Meatloaf, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, did you put the wrong record in the wrong jacket here?
You could kind of look at a Yes album or Hell for That Matter, Earth, Wind, and Fire, and get the idea that this is going to be you know, in that genre of all things.
Sure.
But when you're looking at, like, you know, a dude riding a dragon or whatever the hell the deal is, you know, you're kind of like, this is going to rock.
And no, it was Meatloaf.
Yeah, it was
Meatloaf. Like a battle hell, I've been gone when the morning comes.
So we've got 10 songs from the Filthy 15 coming up at 4:30, as once again we will sit and spin. And today on the program, we're going to talk about that moment when you realized maybe somebody was on a different plane than you.
Yeah.
As far as the way you think and do business, a lot of the times that this happens, like anything else, you don't necessarily pick your coworkers. You don't necessarily pick your family.
Right.
You do pick your friends. Sometimes you... leave friends in the past.
Sure, sure.
For a variety of reasons. A lot of these things come in play over time, depending on what's going on with somebody. And so today, we're going to talk about the moment you realized that someone maybe had a screw loose.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I've had a few coworkers in my day where this definitely came into play.
Yeah, for sure.
Not that they did not do a good job doing their job.
Had nothing to do with it.
Not that they did not show up every day.
You just discover things about them in conversation, and you think, this person is really effing strange.
That's right. And you learn why. You don't know what... You don't know if it's the chicken or the egg, as far as... Or
right, like, you worked with the dude...
The horse or the cart. I mean, it's very hard to tell.
You worked with a guy who openly, as you tell it, was pretty open about the fact that he would cover himself in baby oil,
okay,
get naked, and drive through the streets of Washington, D.C.
All right, well,
and that was just
okay.
His thing.
Okay,
yeah, that's definitely a screw loose.
And like you said, he was a decent worker and all that kind of thing, but like, I would never know that about someone unless they told me, and what I can't figure out is why he would tell you. I can't imagine to say, Miles, you know what I do, man? I get naked, cover myself in baby oil, and drive the streets of Seattle.
But there was all kinds.
Why would you share that?
There were all kinds of warning signs that I should have known.
Looking back, what are some of the red flags that says this guy might be the dude who gets naked, covers himself in baby oil, and drives the city streets?
Just based on the fact that sometimes I would come in and take over for the guy who did mornings.
Yeah,
if you go on vacation or whatever, I was a substitute fill-in guy. They just move you from a shift and bring you down. And I did not realize that Gary got in every morning around 5 o'clock.
Is he the same guy that ripped his foreskin off?
No, that's a different guy.
Okay, Jesus, man.
Gary,
it's an interesting culture of the radio business.
It is.
Yeah.
There's weird stuff going on. So Gary, he was one of those guys that would always talk about, you know, his previous life being an on-the-air DJ back when DJs mattered and back when, you know, radio's golden era.
All right. Okay.
Of all the things, which is fine, because a lot of people wax poetic in their Uncle Rico type ways, whether
sure.
It's, you know, growing up playing high school football or whatever their deal is.
Some of the stuff was awesome.
It was. Yeah. I mean, some of the stories they'd share, I'm like, we could never do that now.
Right. But he was in there, and he was a chief engineer, so he did not need to be in there at 5 a.m.
Okay.
There was nothing that was, but he was always in there early.
There was also a window on his door in the hallway because his office used to be a studio. And typically, studio office doors where you broadcast have a window so you can see in.
Yeah.
Is someone on the air right now? You know, who's in there before I just go walking in? Well, walking down the hallway, it's 5:30 in the morning. There's Gary. He's sitting at his desk. He is completely naked, and he's going to town on himself.
Why does he have to be
completely naked?
I don't know. I think he just thought Sean was going to be gone that week and nobody was filling in, but that's impossible because we weren't automated on a computer.
Even if it's the middle of the day and I'm home alone, I don't get completely naked.
Right.
So
I don't understand that, man.
All right, so I come in and I'm like, oh my God, Gary. So I go into my door, I get my stuff, get my headphones, walk down the hallway, past him again in the studio, and I'm not in there for more than 20 seconds, just getting my stuff ready to go. Gary pops in the door. He is now fully dressed, by the way.
Okay.
I guess he saw my light was on. And he comes in, he's like, fresh coffee. You know, kind of like VD does.
Yeah.
But Gary's now, he's clothed, all right? And he's, you know, he's like, he has a coffee pot down in his office. I'm like, oh, Gary, that's good, man.
I
don't want your coffee, man, because first of all, I don't know what you're capable of. Second of all, I know what you're doing in there. Just the idea of drinking coffee in the same from the same room where someone was handling their business.
Now, do you say anything to him like, why are you naked?
I did not say a word.
How could you not?
Because
I mean, look, there's a lot of things you don't broach with people. I do understand mm-hmm. that. But I would have no problem saying, Ted, hey, man, look, I'm not here to judge, but
right.
why were you naked masturbating
now, this guy,
yeah. I think that'd be fair to ask that question.
I really do.
He was with the owner, a guy named Jake Einstein. They've been working together for about 30 years.
All right.
So Jake was incredibly loyal to Gary. Gary was incredibly loyal to Jake. There was nothing that Gary could do for Jake to fire him. So at one point in time, we had an issue.
So why not get naked and masturbate?
Well, at one point in time, we had an issue with a piece of equipment in the studio. We needed to get that either switched out or fixed immediately.
Right.
It was one of those things where you had two CD players back in the day. One of those went bad. So you only have one.
Right.
We did have a turntable. You had to keep going back and forth. But Gary needs to either go get a new CD player. We need to run down to Circuit City and buy one. Or Gary needs to get his ass in there and fix it. So I go upstairs to Jake, and I said, Jake, I said, we need Gary in here, and you need to just make sure he's good on a couple purchases that we need, because we have a CD player down in the studio. And Jake says, I'm going to pick up Gary this afternoon. And I was like, well, just make sure that, you know, he can pick up a CD player before he comes in tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
No, he'll be here in the morning. He's like, well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to bail him out or not. I'm going to find out when I get down there. I was like, where is he? This is what I learned that Gary drives around naked, covered in baby oil.
Oh, this is how you found
on
it.
Cocaine. All right? Around Washington, D.C. So he got busted. He got busted in D.C. All right? Covered in baby oil. In his car. Driving around naked. High as hell on cocaine. Now, when they busted him, the problem was Gary had not done all the cocaine, and he also had it in his car.
All right.
So not only was he naked, covered in baby oil, but he had like an 8-ball in the car with him. All right.
You figure he must have bought a lot if you're going to these lengths.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So next morning, coming to the station, probably 9 o'clock, whenever I get in, there's a brand new CD player. Gary's there like nothing has happened. All right, like nothing has happened. Gary's like, how you doing? Need any coffee? Fresh pot. Gary's Gary. You know, and I'm like, okay. So I was like, Gary's everything cool, man? He's like, oh, yeah, things great. You know, like nothing ever happened. Like he hadn't been in jail for the last 3 days, which he had been in jail for the last 3 days. Okay. So fast forward, you learn more about Gary. So at one point in time, he's like, yeah, you know, I got to go down to the Smithsonian because they're doing this new display, whatever it was. Like, he'd do the Easter egg roll and other things. But
wasn't he goofy?
Yes. Smithsonian was doing something else. I can't remember
so
what
the man
it was.
The
like a salute, it's a salute to Disney. Like, I don't know if it was Walt's original drawings or whatever the hell it was. It was like one of those deals. So we got to get down there. And I'm like, so I heard this story before. And I'm like, and Gary smoked, too. So I'm like, Gary, you're really goofy. He's like, yeah, man, I've been goofy for, you know, 35 years. And I'm like, he was regional goofy.
And, like, you have to be licensed by Disney.
Correct.
You can't just do that.
Gary also got there so early in the morning, he parked on Main Street in Annapolis on the brick streets, and he always got one of three spaces that weren't metered.
Right.
So he was always there early enough to get one of those. That's also where you walked out front. This is a little a store called A.L. Goodies.
Mm-hmm.
All right. They had a fudge shop in the front. It was a tourist trap. But it was in downtown Annapolis. Gary parked his car right out front. We're outside smoking. He said, you want to take a vape? And I was like, sure, Gary. And he opens his trunk, and Goofy's like face down in the trunk. Like, these big-ass shoes, the whole thing. Like, it's authentic Goofy.
Does it look like a murder?
He looks like Goofy's tied up in the back of his trunk. The head, you don't understand how big the head is on Goofy until you actually see it in person. Goofy's a bigger mascot anyway.
Yeah, sure.
I've met him at the parks.
His head is enormous,
yeah.
All right? His feet are enormous. And Goofy is in the trunk of Gary's car, and he's like, yeah, there's Goofy, and he slams the trunk back down.
Oh, my God.
I'm just like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Gary got paid to go and do that, and you know, that was another aspect of Gary's life that was unique, so to speak, where you knew he was there, but just
right. But it's crazy to meet anyone that is a Disney mascot. All right, so because it sounds ridiculous, and I'm not even a Disney guy, but you say, hey man, I'm the regional Goofy, understanding what it takes to get that position. Like,
oh, he also told you can't tell anybody. That was another thing. It's top secret.
I told you,
it's top secret.
My mom, one of her boss for years, right?
Mm-hmm.
His sister was an actual Mickey in the park and stuff.
All right.
But she would travel around to the level of, like, she would call him, like, the day before and be like, hey, I'm going to be in the parade in D.C.
Oh, wow.
But, like, she couldn't even tell him in advance because she was, like, a real official Mickey.
Yes. I wonder if that Mickey and the naked, coked out, baby oiled Goofy ever worked together. Like, she's coming to, right? But hey, man, we need the Disney character.
I mean, honestly, he's probably.
The guy, they probably, and we had Mickey Mouse here, was about a year ago, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
An official Mickey. They were doing whatever they're doing here. And Mickey Mouse came in. And to be honest with you, I understand it's just someone in a costume, but it's still kind of mind blowing.
It's awesome.
Because freaking Mickey Mouse is here. And they're doing the whole thing. And so they did a couple of photo ops, but I went out to smoke. And now the person inside of the Mickey costume is no longer in the Mickey costume. And we only figured out who they were because Mickey had two handlers. And then this third person, who we had not seen before, who's slightly tinier than they were, is walking out with the handlers. And it is this old lady, and she sounded like she smoked 400 packs of cigarettes a day because as she's walking out, keep in mind, it's Mickey Mouse.
Right.
But as she's walking out and now can use her actual voice, it's just kind of like, all right, where are we going next? And, I mean, it ruined me on Mickey Mouse. Hearing about Goofy as Real Man Goofy, and we also used to work with a guy who had, I believe, some questionable behaviors. He was one of the five Ronald McDonalds that was sanctioned by McDonald's. Like to go visit kids and go to the hospitals and all that. And they only had five at a time. I don't know what the deal is now, but he was the regional Ronald McDonald. And much like your buddy Gary, this dude, I liked him a great deal. We all did. But you would hear some of his stories. And I'm like, you probably shouldn't be around kids.
No.
You certainly should not be around. But like, you should not be around anyone who is pure of heart.
Now, here's some other things you need to know about this, which I didn't realize either. Gary was on like super secret probation from the company at the time. Because I don't know what happened, but there is strict protocol.
He was in trouble outside of getting arrested. Naked on cocaine.
He was in trouble with the goofy people.
Oh,
because
the goofy police.
All right, so he was late to an event, and he got dressed up as Goofy outside of his car, and so there's this huge ass bag that you bring in. So he would explain it like when you do the Easter egg roll.
Yeah.
You do not walk up there as Goofy. No one can see you be Goofy. All your stuff is in this huge ass bag. And I guess Gary's like, I moved. I used the bag to move, but I didn't pack my bag up. So he basically kind of ran across the street wherever he parked at the White House to go to the Easter egg roll as Goofy. Now they have a dressing room where you're supposed to go and they use a room.
Correct.
Where you're supposed to
it's
come
a mascot.
Out as all of the characters at once. Not Gary. Goofy's running across the street because Goofy's late. Okay? So
that's the White House. Goofy still has to go to
school. No one saw Goofy get dressed, according to Gary.
Of course he's going to say that.
But I don't believe that, because you got to put a big head on out of your trunk when you're getting out of your car.
You're outside of the White House. I got news for you. There's a lot of eyes on you.
Right. And look, when I was a kid, we went to that every year. There's thousands of kids. Like, they're all on the lookout for the characters.
You went to that thing?
Oh, when I was a kid, we went to the Easter egg roll every year because there was characters.
Was Goofy there every year? Because, again, you've probably crossed paths.
There's probably a picture of me and Goofy, Miles' buddy. Because I'm telling you, we went every year, and you would get, they had, little, wooden eggs.
Yeah.
So you could get them autographed by the characters, and then there was always, some of the wizards would be there. Some of the commanders would be there. It was...
Okay.
If you lived locally in the D.C. area, it was awesome.
So, Gary had to go around the side door because you had to come in the back.
Yeah.
Okay, you could not go up to the front. He had to come in the back of the White House, which is really impossible to do if you know anything about the way it goes. So basically, it goes down a service ramp kind of thing, and... knocks on the door. They open the door. There's Goofy. Also,
you went to sacred service. Are you goddamn kidding me?
Also, it's important to note, and Gary said this too. When you put that hat on, when you put that helmet on, all right, when you knock on the door and the guy answers the door, you cannot speak. From the moment that that lid goes on your head.
Yeah, nobody talks.
You can't talk. Yeah. So he can't really, he's like,
he's trying to pantomime.
Showing all his credentials and all that stuff, but he can't speak even to the Secret Service and the people who are at the White House letting him in to do this thing.
Now, he's got to pick and choose in his rules now.
Right. I mean, Disney is even saying you can't speak to
once you put that hat on, man.
Well, yeah, but he should have got changed inside.
Well, they let him in. So of course he did. But that's why he was on probation for a while for the Disney
company. Restoring a blade.
I just remember he lifts the trunk up and it looked like he kidnapped Goofy and it had him tied up in the back of his trunk.
That's Goofy.
That's Goofy. Clap.
When I'm not Goofy, I'm naked.
Close the trunk.
Okay.
Just my Jesus. God. And Gary looked like the character he played.
Oh, really?
So, you know, when you look at Chewbacca, what was the
name? Peter Mayhew.
Yeah, okay, that's Chewbacca. When you see him as a person.
Yeah, you go like,
Gary was 6'5". Gary weighed 110 pounds soaking wet. He kind of just, he fit into that costume perfectly.
Right, that's why most of the Mickeys and, Donald Ducks are always going to be women, because those costumes are so specific, you have to be a certain size.
Yeah, I just keep thinking back to the woman in that Mickey outfit. It's not just that she was a tiny old woman. I mean, she looked like your mean fourth grade teacher. You know what I mean? I just could not believe that was Mickey.
Like, Thrill Mouse. Could be a Goofy or a Baloo.
Thank you. I'm going Baloo.
Friend, family member, neighbor, or coworker, when did you realize someone had a screw loose? 206-80-
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
3 Rock.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
By the way, speaking of Coach for Kids, Taryn Daly from the Daily Mix Morning Show, she has a little challenge going on there with her fellow coworkers as far as live night is concerned, and her going up on stage and doing the King's Father Christmas. Yeah.
That is correct.
Along with the new original house band, live on stage. Apparently, she has done this before, and she thought her performance was atrocious. So, something she never wanted to do again, but they put her up to a challenge. If we can get to $6,900 this afternoon for Coats for Kids before the end of the show, our show,
She has to sing that live on stage for you. Friday night, December 13th, the Showbox Soto. Tickets on sale now, KISW.com. So if you could, just understand, $20 puts a brand new coat on a kid in need in the Pacific Northwest.
Yes.
Goal is 2,500 coats. So we're going to try to hit this mark today if we can. Mm-hmm. Get Taryn up on stage and then go for the gold and make sure that all the kids in the area that need a new coat get one for the wintertime.
So even if you don't want to do it to help kids, do it to embarrass Taryn. We won't judge.
How far, Mike, what's the number? Is it reachable by this afternoon?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. We're currently sitting at 5,200 of our 6,900 goals.
Ooh.
Oh, nice. Okay. Okay. All right. So keep in mind, $20. It's an American-made coat. You're doing some good and
embarrassing Taryn.
Taryn in a very awkward position. If we can get that done, that would be a cool thing. All right. Our question, a friend, family, neighbor, coworker, when did you realize that someone had a screw loose? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, David. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
Hey, so this story actually takes me back to my childhood. I'm 59, so this story is actually about 40-something years old. My family, we moved up here with like the first wave from California, so we moved to Puyallup back in the late 70s, and we had some relatives in Carnation, Washington. But we decided, somehow we had a vacation down in Ocean Shores, California, or sorry, Washington. And we had our cousins, me and my brother and our cousins. And you know what cousins are, right? They're mischievous and cause havoc, right?
Generally.
Well, I mean, it depends on the family.
It depends on the family and the cousin.
I think when you get together with your cousins as a kid, as a pack, you definitely
everyone's got a drunk, creepy uncle.
Right. Well, not everybody.
Definitely a pack. You know, what can we do? So it was all innocent. We were down on the beach, and then we walked back to the motel. And I guess my great aunt had made a German chocolate cake, I guess, and she had it on the kitchen table in the motel room. And of course, you know, as kids do, we walk in front of everyone, right? We're not going to hang out with the older people. So we're walking like 10, 15 seconds ahead of everybody. And I remember so we got there to the motel room and we closed the sliding glass door to the motel room, and then I heard my aunt scream, "They're getting into the chocolate cake!" And then we get cold.
Once again, bedroom callers, here are the 7 words you can't say on the radio.
She did a what?
Sucker, mother, and
to who?
Please keep those words in mind when calling. Now, back to the program.
That is the one word that we frown on the most.
Okay. So anyway, she did a face plant right into the glass door and just fell on her back. And everyone was laughing at her because she was like hysterical about us getting into the chocolate cake. But we weren't even getting into the chocolate cake. It's just she was freaking out. So anyway, it was kind of a funny story.
Is she always kind of weird like that?
Yeah, I got other stories about her, specifically about her calling me a brat, like in my face, like getting into my face, and it's like, I'm just a kid, but, she was a little different.
Okay, all right.
I'm trying to think of any of my, I got a couple of cousins I don't like, because they just suck as people, but not weird.
Yeah.
You know, we got one that's always in and out of jail, which I predicted that when I was 9 and he was 4. And I got in trouble because, so he was always up to no good, right? Anything he could do that was bad, he was going to do. It's just who he is, and it hasn't changed in all these years. But anyway, he had this big-ass elastic band, right? So picture a rubber band, make it like 9 times bigger. And I step out of the bathroom, and he's got this thing cocked back, aimed at my face, all right? And like anyone, you don't want to get hit in the face with this. But I also recognize he was 4, so I said, hey, man, you're doing it wrong. You got to let go of the front of it. So he did, and it shot backwards, hit him in the face.
All right.
I thought it was freaking hilarious. Anyway, he cried, told his mom then tells my mom. Anyway, I get in trouble for this, and I'm like, wait a minute. You're telling me that I should have taken this big-ass elastic band to the face. This is the message that I'm getting. And my father cleared it up, and he said, listen, you're the older cousin. If he's going to hit you in the face with a band, he's going to hit you in the face with a band. And then you beat his ass. So okay, I didn't know that part. He's like, no, that's how it works. He's like, you can't trick him into hurting himself, but if he hurts you, then you can beat his ass. I was like, okay, noted. Now, keep in mind, he said that not in the presence of my mother. When my mother was reading me the right
sure.
act, he's like, yeah, yeah, that was absolutely wrong. And then when she kind of went away, he's like, listen, man, just let him do his craft and beat his ass. I don't think my dad liked him either, man.
What did he end up going to jail for?
Name it. It's, you know, but it's all like misdemeanor stuff, right? He's not a murderer. He is not a rapist. He's
like just simple assault.
Dumb stuff, right?
Like robbing.
Exactly. Like, yeah. It could have been shoplifting to get a Twix bar. But when they said, hey, put the Twix bar back, you doubled down, grabbed the whole box, and then got in a fist fight with the guy running the convenience store. He was that dude, right?
Yeah.
So always in and out of jail. I don't even know the last time I've seen him, but the last time I saw my aunt and asked about him, he was serving like a 90-day sentence or something.
Yeah.
Right? He was just like, not weird, but just a jackass.
I mean, you're all right. When you're kids, it's different. Like, I mean, I remember me and my cousins once got in, my one cousin, I didn't even know what it was. I got in a physical fight with his other cousin, and we got into a fight. It was all over like a basketball game or
of
something.
Of course, of course.
But yeah, but like mm-hmm. now as an adult, like I'm close with all my cousins. Some, you know. Obviously, some are higher up on the food chain. But
yeah.
You're right. I wouldn't describe any of them as weird.
Didn't you, Ted, you said that you, as far as the world of dating people,
yeah.
you were dating a very attractive person. And I guess over the course of dating and time, it wasn't very long, but you realized that you might be dating a racist.
Yeah.
But how much, one thing you always said is like, look, she dropped something in some conversation, as I remember you saying it, and just like, it's bad, but like, she's really hot. So,
like, the writing was already on the wall.
Okay.
Right? Like, I knew she was going to break up with me either way. And like, we're having a conversation. And it was just something that generally, almost any other time, I would say, don't say that.
Right.
Right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, come on. And I just didn't. I was just like, I wanted to have sex one more time with him. But I'm pretty sure she was a racist.
But you did have sex with her one more time at least, right?
Yeah.
I mean, look, dude,
she did
well
break
played.
Up with you, didn't she? Like you said?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
You said she was hot. I mean, like, dude, you know, I get it. You know what I mean? Like, this chick's super hot. I know I hate her guts. I know she just said something stupid. There's no way this lasts. But just like you said, you know, I'm going to sit on this for about 24 hours because I want to get up in them guts at least one more time.
That's funny you bring that. I hadn't thought about that story in years. And somehow we were talking about it on Sunday watching football.
Really?
Yeah. Just like,
accidental racist.
Yeah.
She said what she said.
You don't put that on the dating profile.
Right.
Occasional racism.
Yeah, I just was like, ugh. Like, I'm not going to. You know, sometimes you're just like, I'm not getting in this conversation with this person.
Right.
I know she's going to dump me. Like, I just want to have sex.
Just want to have sex. And look, you're not occasionally a racist. You're a racist who occasionally lets it be known.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not like you had a moment and like, in this moment, I do not like black people. Like, no, you don't like black people. You just don't always walk around saying it.
Right. It was 15 years ago. I'm sure think people change. But yeah, that.
You think
that
she's changed?
Doesn't matter. I just say it. At that point, the stuff that was coming out of her mouth, I was like, ooh, those are some strong views.
Yeah. Okay, so
and I'm going to have sex with you in spite of that.
I used to do Friday night at a club in Morgantown.
Oh,
I was a DJ till 2 o'clock in the morning. What? Very interesting group of characters, not the normal people that I hang out with.
Yeah,
at that point in time in my life, I was more of a pot smoker, but I still worked at a radio station. They had this gig opening, so I could make a few bucks. Actually, the bar played great. They paid in cash.
Nice.
It was $100 or so a night. I can't remember what it was. It was 5 hours. And basically all I did was just, keep the dance floor moving and try to find some time where I could go drink or do drugs. You know, long songs. My Prerogative from Bobby Brown, 6 minutes, one of my best
friends. That was a pretty long one. Yeah,
back in the day, that was always a good one. Belle Biv DuVoe would hook me up with enough time to go outside and smoke. Either way, at the end of the night, I had known this woman before, but she came in with a group of friends. She was considerably older than me.
Okay.
And she was also the director of a large organization that across the country that does charity work.
Okay.
Kind of like one of those big names. Yeah, like the American Red Cross or Salvation. Like,
sure.
You've heard of this.
But she's the regional director.
American something association.
Right.
You understand how this goes. But she was the head of it. And so she invited me back to her house. So it was an apartment in a building that was not too far away from where I lived. Now, one thing I did not do was tell her how close in proximity that I lived to her, because number one, I was unsure about this, but
yeah.
Okay, walk into her apartment. There is a teddy bear on her couch. And I mean, the teddy bear is sitting in the middle of the couch, like the teddy bear, is watching television.
Like Ted.
It is splitting the middle of the couch, okay?
All right.
Not the biggest deal in the world. I'm like, do you have a nephew or nieces or, you know, any of that? She's like, no, I don't. I'm like, oh, you just like teddy bears. She's like, I love teddy bears.
Ooh.
All like, right. Okay. All right. Not a big deal. We get on the couch. I go to move the teddy bear. She says, no. Teddy bear stays on the couch. I said, okay, well, can I scoot it over so we can sit next to each other? And she's like, you can move it over. So I move the teddy bear.
Which she's making it clear, like, do not take it off.
Although, this is also 2:35, almost 3 o'clock in the morning. I didn't get out of there until 2. So right. I'm kind of already, I got a good buzz on. Things are going well. I'm like, this is going to be great. We go into her bedroom. There are no less than 30 teddy bears on shelves, on her bed, sitting on the corner of the floor, like the big one. They were everywhere. And so I'm like,
did you stare at them while you had sex with
okay,
them?
Here was the question. Here was the question. Do you collect teddy bears? Her answer, I'll never forget it. No, I just like them.
What?
And I'm like, all right, okay.
Do you know what collecting is?
So
I don't collect them. I just like them and have a lot of them.
So, yeah, that would be weird. I have a ton of koozies. But if somebody said, do you collect them? I'd say, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I have be like, so no. many.
Yeah, so let's just say we get into business, right? Uh-huh. Okay.
Did you have to push the teddy bears off the bed?
All right. Here's where it gets weird. Okay. At some point in time during the festivities, her head or her arm knocks off a couple of the teddy bears onto the floor. All right.
Oh no.
In the middle of coitus, she reaches back and grabs the teddy bear off the floor Wait. And puts it back. And then grabs the other one, stretches, and I'm still, you know, doing my thing.
Clearly, you're killing it.
And yeah. And she puts it on the bed, and man, but everything else there was nothing.
Did she position them just so?
She
so
just
they were
put them back on the bed. Like this is a boat and man overboard.
Right.
You know, kind of a thing. And it was nothing else weird about the entire thing.
Just that.
Just the fact.
30 teddy bears.
Sure
yes.
They were there.
Yes.
She wanted them like witnesses.
They were.
The one
that got recorded. Look at this guy working all hard. Yeah,
I don't care if you have stuffed animals on your bed as an adult. If that's the way you want to fly, that's fine. What about the big bear that's sitting in the middle of the couch? She's like, well, I snuggle up to the bear when I'm watching television.
I think the big bear in the middle of the couch, for some reason to me, that makes more sense than having them all over your bed.
I think they work together for just being weird.
You gotta remember,
appreciate
she
that
was,
she's not just kind of weird and has one big teddy bear to snuggle with on the couch. I'm weird enough that I have 30 more on my bed, and if any one of them hits the floor, even though you're actively having sex with me, I'm going to kind of get out of position because it's so important that my teddy bears are on the bed.
Now,
are you staring at them when you're having sex?
Okay, a couple other things.
I would not be able to take my eyes
How I knew her was because I had done work with this organization through the radio station and had sat outside the equivalent of a Fred Meyer for 4 hours to come down and get some crap. You know, one of those radio
stations. Give away free
Come
bears.
On down, give some crap. Your chance to win an 86 Corolla. You know, get a sticker. We'll be here for 4 hours. There'll be a bad blues band playing in the parking lot kind of thing. But I swear to God, 25% of these animals, stuffed animals, had a T-shirt on, a kid-sized T-shirt, of the organization that she worked for. So if she worked for the American Red Cross, like teddy bears, they had those T-shirts on. In like teddy bear kid sizes.
Oh, God.
How many times did you hook up with this girl?
Once.
Was that why?
Once.
Were you just like, I can't do the
Well, bear. She came back a couple weeks later, and we had another event down the road, and I kind of just made it seem like, well, I'll see you, you know, next Sunday at the Kroger parking lot again, you know? Like, so, no, I can't remember how I just kind of.
That's a little weird, man.
Just said, I can't do that. I think I told her I was dating someone.
It doesn't go like teddy bears.
Exactly. Friend, family member, neighbor, coworker, when did you realize someone had a screw loose? 206-803-ROCK.
I think there's an age on the stuffed animals, too.
And not that she had a... I mean, honestly, other than that...
For that many, yes.
There was nothing else that was detectable as far as anything that was really, really weird. That was just weird to me.
I think it's weird to any adult. It's weird to any adult that on your adult bed you have 30 teddy bears. It's also weird that when we're having sex and it falls on the floor... you feel the need to pick them up.
Okay. That's where it gets weird
right.
for me.
You know, like, you certainly, you can't wait for us to be done. You're actually going to pick up these teddy bears and put them back out.
How old do you think she was?
Okay.
Is she still in her
20s? I know for a fact she was at least 10 years. And this was part of it, too, because I knew I was going to be with an older woman who showed up at these events dressed to the nines.
Of course.
Pants, suits, you know, like professional. I'm in charge. I'm the director. I'm the highest on the totem pole in this organization here because she was. Anytime you did an interview about, you know,
upcoming events or whatever,
she was the contact person. She was the person who did the half hour interviews for the, you know, the PSAs that we run on Saturday morning talking about the events and all that. She's the face of this organization. So in my mind, you know, this is the first older woman that I've ever really been with. Most of the time I dated in my own age range.
Yeah.
So I did not see this coming, so to speak. You know, this was, I thought I was going to go to like a really nice house.
Oh, of course.
A really nice, you know, just whatever. I was going
to,
maybe a king size bed. I don't know. Just something.
Something that says she's older and has
made money. Right. She had a nice car, all this stuff, man. And then I get into her house, it's like a dollhouse of bears.
Right, but how old were you?
I was 21, 22 years old.
All right, so I'm saying even older, I will cut her slack that maybe she's like late 20s, like 30.
Right.
Because, I mean, even in my late 20s, there was still, you'd see some teddy bears, this and that. But if we're talking nowadays, you're over 35 and you got all that, then I might be like, all right.
Okay, I hear
okay,
you.
Okay, she lived in one of the few gated apartments in town.
Right.
So when we get to her apartment, which I knew that apartment, I never knew anybody who lived in that apartment
before. Right, but you knew the building.
Yeah, I knew. It had a keypad code on the gate to get in. So it was like one of the nicest apartments in Morgantown. So I knew that she did very well for herself.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, this is going to be cool. Right? She's got an elevator. Like, I never, yeah, right. I mean.
Yeah, an elevator up in there.
Still a nice apartment. It just had teddy bears.
We didn't have a lot of elevators. I mean, like, the whole building in Morgantown was like five floors.
Right.
Like, to be in an elevator, you're like, ah.
Did they all have names?
I know we ride an elevator every day now, but back then I was like, ha, I'm in an elevator.
That was big stuff.
West Virginia didn't have escalators and stuff like that. So you go to the mall in Pittsburgh, you're like, hey, I'm on an escalator. It was kind of like that. Like, I'm in an elevator going to this woman's, to her apartment.
And I'm about to find out that she is bad as crazy.
Like it's a penthouse suite.
No, I'm seriously. I'm just thinking to myself, this is awesome. She drove a nice car. I left my car at the bar because she was fine. It drove me back, you know. This is going to be great, man.
Dude, when Burris and I lived in that place in Towson, that building had just been built. Now, we're only
that's a pretty nice place,
22. Yeah. Super nice.
Yeah.
Right? But there was three of us in there, and like that was the only way we could afford it. But we had a neighbor that you would hear weird sounds out of there, but kind of same thing. Every time we saw him, he had to be in his 50s, right?
Okay.
So we could never figure it out. And then one Sunday afternoon, we're walking home, and his keys are still in his door. So we knock on the door, he opens it, and there's his golf bag, and there's him. And he is hammered.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And we're like, hey, man, you left your keys in here. And he's like, oh, don't worry about it, fellas. You know where the best hole is? We're like, what? He's like, the 19th hole. And then we realized, like, he would just come home hammered and would, like, flop around his apartment and fall around. That's what the noises were.
It's just him stumbling drunk.
Yeah, and then we figured it out, like, oh, whatever this guy does, like, on the week, like, Friday and Saturday night, he would go out and get S-bombed. But you'd always hear, like, you know, like, sound in an apartment where you're just like, that's a body that just,
right.
Or somebody tripped. Like, what is it? But, I mean, I could still picture him now, like, just, he was so excited. The 19th hole. So I'm saying, Miles, you never know an apartment building.
Friend, family, neighbor, coworker, when did you realize someone had a screw loose? 206-803-ROCK.